You know, what keeps me up at night lately isn't horror movies. It's realizing how much of my life is floating around the internet. Addresses, phone numbers, my family members, my personal emails. Data brokers are collecting this stuff and selling it like it's a clearance item. That's why I'm excited to tell you about My Data Removal. They help you remove your personal info from the web, but for real. Not just hiding it, but going after the more than 200 sites and growing where your info might be exposed. They scan, they remove, and they keep you updated every month so you know what's been taken down. Identity theft, unwanted calls, someone getting a hold of your home address and family details. It's not paranoid. It's real. In fact, 1 in 3 Americans has experienced identity theft. It costs time, money, and emotional stress. My Data Removal fights back, so you don't have to. Here's what you do. Head to MyDataRemoval.com. Start with a free scan to see exactly what data about you is floating around. Then let them clean it up. Let them restore your privacy. Protect yourself. Protect your family. Clean up your data with My Data Removal. Visit MyDataRemoval.com now. Your peace of mind is worth it.
Do you like scary movies?
They do this like every Halloween season, and once again, they're doing it again. You can get paid $666. Mm-hmm. You think that was a coincidence? No, 666. To watch, rank, and review 5 scary movies.
Do they list the movies, or are they going to choose them for you after?
Yeah, it's some website, cabletv.com, which who knows what they do, but they're calling it a thrill-turnership or something like that.
Okay.
What they want to do is they want you to rank the 5 movies. Mm-hmm. Say why they're on your list.
Yeah.
And then they're going to hook you up with the cash and a $50 Uber Eats gift card and so, a 1-year subscription to Screambox.
So again, is it like my top 5 or their top 5 and they want to know whether or not they appear on mine? Because I watch a lot of scary movies lately. That's kind of my thing now.
I don't watch scary movies ever. Yeah. I have nightmares and all that, but they give you 13 to choose from.
Okay, go run them down. I'll tell you what I've seen and what I haven't.
A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, of course. Definitely seen that. That's classic. Good one.
Candyman.
Yep, seen that one too.
Evil Dead.
Seen that, yep.
Exorcist.
Yep.
Get Out.
And these are required, yes. Get Out is perfect.
I never heard of Get Out in my life.
That's Jordan Peele, his debut film. Are you serious? It like started the whole thing.
I told you, I don't watch these. Halloween.
Oh yeah, great one. But which one, right? The original or the remake by Rob Zombie or, okay, what's next?
It was from 1978.
So well, that's the original then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hereditary.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, I just keep reading them and you just keep saying that's a good one,
well,
Raven.
That one's in the last like 5 years and that's disturbing. It's about like when a grandmother dies and what is actually in their bloodline, what makes them screwed up. Yeah, that's a good one.
It.
Excellent.
Martyrs.
Martyrs. Didn't see that.
2008, that one came out. All right, so one so far out of the 13 you didn't know. Mm-hmm. The Shining.
Yeah, beautiful film. I mean, really one of the best movies ever made.
The Strangers.
Strangers. On my computer as we speak, because we were supposed to watch it man camping, but we didn't get there. It's about a home invasion. Very scary.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Not really my favorite. More gory than scary, in my opinion, but based a lot on Ed Gein in that real story.
And The Thing.
The Thing is good and disturbing. And the remake wasn't even actually all that bad. I'll tell you what I just watched this weekend was Weapons. That's brand new. Just came out. It was number one for like 6 weeks or something. That's a good movie. Not quite what I expected, but really good.
No, I can't tell you if you're right or wrong because, like I said, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm afraid to watch movies. I have nightmares, and it stays with me, and I think about it nonstop. But if you had to rank the top, well, let's not do 5. Let's do 3.
Okay.
The top 3 scariest movies that you've ever seen. What would they be?
Well, listen, I mean, I'll get some pushback on this, but I saw a movie recently that I thought was totally scary.
Is it the one with the legs?
Yes,
oh,
Long
my
Legs.
Gosh.
I thought Long Legs was great.
You didn't stop talking about that movie for weeks. You were talking about how scared it was. And I was like, Raven, nobody knows what you're talking about.
No, it's really good. Barbarian is really, really screwed up and scary. Also a relatively recent movie. I mean, Shining is right there as far as scary films. And then Weapons, this past weekend, I watched that. Listen, again, not the scariest film, but a good movie about a witch. A modern-day witch. You don't get stories about witches nowadays.
Well, my favorite movie is also about witches.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called Hocus Pocus. It's made by Disney.
Very different.
Right, and it had like a lot of really big celebrities in it, as you know.
So. Were they also eating children's life force to stay alive, like Aunt Gladys?
Yeah, kinda.
Oh. All right. Well, spoiler alert, witches, they do that.
Yeah. How do you save your marriage? It comes down to the size of your bed, according to Matthew McConaughey, anyway. Here he is talking about what he realized was a massive problem in his marriage.
So we have kids, and we go to our friend's house, and he has one of these double king-size beds put together. And all the kids sleep in the bed. But, right, the wife's on one side with her side table, and the husband's on the other side. And it's great when you got all three kids, but all of a sudden the kids get too big. They're out of the bed. And I wake up one morning, and I'm looking over there, and Camilla's like a football field away, man.
She's too far away.
Yeah.
When those giant beds, and when the kids are out of the bed, and then he continues, Raven.
And there you go to bed at night, you like want to snuggle up, and you're like, well, we got a cover. You come about 12 feet, and I'll come 12 feet. You're like, man, this damn king-size bed's not good for the marriage, man. This get rid of that we got a queen-size where we're shoulder to shoulder. I'm telling you, it's good for your marriage.
100%.
I love Matthew McConaughey. He's very open. But it's a very strange thing. At the beginning of that conversation, he says, went over a friend's house. So wait a minute. You, your wife, and your kids are all sleeping at your friend's house where you got these two double king beds? It's a very different lifestyle than what I'm living there. I mean, listen, I get it. I get what he's saying. You know, it creates some closeness, some cuddling advantages. I tell you one thing. I mentioned it to my wife last night. I was like, Matthew McConaughey says that a queen-size bed is the secret to a good marriage, a lasting marriage. And my wife was like, nope.
It's because she doesn't know any
different.
She was like,
forget it.
She doesn't know any different. So,
I mean, we had a queen back in the day. Once we went king, there's no going back.
Oh, so I don't like big beds. My husband and I slept in a full-size bed.
That's the craziest thing to me.
Full.
Like, I mean, up until when? How long ago was that?
It was a long time ago, but I would say probably until we bought our first home together, we slept in a full-size bed.
I mean, like, you were like, what, 28?
25. 26.
Okay.
That's
crazy.
And then we went to a queen size bed. And that queen size bed, we have never. We raised two kids.
Yeah.
There were many, many nights.
Yeah.
Up until last night.
You've never owned a king size bed.
Never in my life.
Never have you owned it. And when you go to the hotel and they ask you what you want, do you ask for the king, the suite?
No.
Or no, you just, whatever they give you is fine?
Whatever they give us is fine. And usually we're with the kids, so we get the two queens and then whatever. But when we're just the two of us and they give us that big bed, I don't like it. Matthew McConaughey's right. They're a million miles away. I need the warmth of my husband. I want him next to me.
I mean, it's amazing. You just roll over, right?
Like, yeah.
I mean, what you're doing is eliminating the possibility of choice. That's the thing that I have a problem with.
Oh,
it's America.
Like
I've
it.
Been guaranteed a choice on everything. That's the way I look at it.
I have to say there is something truthful about what he's saying. I like having the closeness of my husband near me. I think that
You guys lived on a twin, so I mean, I get
that's
it.
That's true.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, no, it makes for close living quarters and... But you know what? In those cold winter months, nice. Really, the body heat.
Makes your room look so much larger.
We have so much room for activities in our bedrooms.
Right. You can work out in there, do yoga in your bedroom if you want to.
So much room.
You know how many times I've come around the corner of my bed and banged my foot on the corner of it?
I don't have that problem.
That would have eliminated that issue. I'm trying to think as to what age I still had a full-size bed up until. And I don't know when it was, but it was a long, long time ago that I saw one of those. I'm one person. I don't know if I could sleep on one now if I had to.
You should get a queen size bed for you and Alicia, and you'll see. It's like a miracle worker. Wait till you see what it does.
Yeah, I don't know.
What would you have done if you were in this situation? Because I look back on it, and it was one of those moments as a parent that I don't know if I should have opened my mouth. And I was very thankful when somebody else stepped in and did it. But then I felt like shame. Like I should have done it myself.
Yeah, sometimes you got to bring the thunder. I brought the thunder at the beach and people around me were kind of like, and my wife was like, you can't do that when somebody else's parents are there. And I was like, well, they're not saying anything. Similar situation.
It's so weird. Okay, so I was at this like outdoor park area and I had my girls with me. My husband was with me and we were just sitting on a park bench. And there was these kids that were throwing rocks into the pond.
Okay.
Now, all of a sudden, these ducks are there.
Oh.
And, you know, and everybody's looking at the ducks, and all the ducks are there, and it's busy. There's a million park benches, and everybody's there, and the kids' parents are there, too. And the kids, these two boys, start taking the rocks, and they start throwing them at the ducks. And the ducks aren't really flying away, but they're like, you know, like you can
see
them.
Because they're just ducks. They're in a pond. They don't realize what's happening.
Right.
For all they know, they don't understand that kids would throw things at them.
So... Dakota, my little one, she immediately picks up a rock, and I gave her the death. Dakota, no.
Yeah.
You know, and she
absolutely
like,
not.
And she knew right away, she put her hand down, and I was like, we don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm looking at this kid's parents. The kid's parents are like talking, but they're kind of aware of what these kids are doing.
I mean, you should be your parents, right? They are your children.
And they're not saying to them, stop throwing rocks at the ducks, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, are they going to say something or not? So now
it's uncomfortable.
Right.
It's uncomfortable for everybody. And it's not good. Those are living creatures. You know, listen, you throw things at living creatures, you disrespect living creatures. It's an indicator that you got some other issues. And if nobody ever corrects you when you're little, that could be how you develop some issues. I'm just going to say it.
And luckily, the man that was sitting at the bench to my left,
yeah,
he got up and he walked over and he was like, no, you don't throw anything at ducks. You don't throw rocks at ducks.
Right.
And you think like the parent at this point would maybe walk over or maybe be like, oh my gosh, and like get involved.
Thank you. Or interject somehow or whatever.
I don't know if they were, they were in their own world.
They didn't
say
a word.
Nothing. The boys just ran off back to the parents and then the four of them walked away and that was the end of that. And I was like, well, at least that guy said something. But it always brings up such an awkward thing where when are you allowed to discipline somebody else's child?
You can't grab somebody unless there's physical violence that's going on there. But
obviously,
if there is physical violence going on there, you know, I do think that it's okay to grab somebody. It's not okay to hit somebody, but it's okay to grab somebody. Because too many times nowadays, like, people see physical violence and they don't do anything.
All they
do is pull out their phone.
Wait, you're talking about the ducks?
I'm just talking in general. Oh. Like, if you see somebody engaged in violent behavior, especially a kid, because sometimes they don't know better, right? Mm. Like, but I, you know, same thing happened to me. I was at the beach, and I'm going to say it. Stop with the chasing and the harassing of the seagulls. I know you don't respect seagulls, all right? But they're living creatures.
Who doesn't respect seagulls?
Well, kids shouldn't be screaming at them and throwing things at them and this, that, whatever. And I watched that last time I was at the beach, and these kids were throwing rocks, same thing, at seagulls and shells, and they were chasing them around. And finally, I just said, stop that. The seagulls had caught a fish, and at this point now, they're chasing them around. The seagulls don't want to give up their fish because they're eating it, and so they're getting closer and closer to hitting these birds. And then I said something. My wife goes, you can't do that while other people's parents are here. I was like, well, what am I supposed to do? I was like, because this guy's an idiot, I have to sit and watch these kids terrorize these animals? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm all for it. If you're not going to take care of your kids, if they're in my vicinity, in my proximity, and I'm seeing them do something like that, I'm going to say something, 100%.
Seagulls.
And if those kids don't listen, I'm going to say something to you.
Seagulls really do get aggressive if you have Doritos, though.
Do you know what?
They love Doritos.
Watch your Doritos, then, all right? Be careful. I wish those kids had some Doritos or something on them, and them seagulls carried those kids away.
Yeah, 1-800.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
I didn't like their behavior at all. Carry them away.
1-800-330-9999. Your thoughts. When do you get involved and when can you discipline somebody else's kids? What would you do if you were sitting on a park bench and you saw two young boys throwing rocks at a duck and the parents were standing by? They didn't say a word. Would you discipline them? Would you say something? Would you say something to the parents? And is it ever okay to discipline somebody else's kids?
Terrible behavior, right? Like, I remember growing up in the 80s. If you mouthed off or got crazy at a friend's house or whatever, dad might pick you up and slap you on the bottom. I'll tell you right now. But they don't do that nowadays. I mean, for anybody. Not your own kids or anybody else's.
I mean, I don't think that happened in... Okay.
The 80s were crazy.
Maybe in your neighborhood. That happened to me. And luckily, the guy that was sitting at the park bench to my left got up and went and yelled at the kids. And I didn't know what to do because I was like, the parents are right there. Isn't it their responsibility to discipline their own kids? 1-800-330-9999. Patrick, is it ever okay to discipline somebody else's kids?
I think this is an area where you got to use the term tread lightly, grasshopper. The parents are around. Obviously, you have to allow the parents to do it. If the parents aren't doing something, you don't go to the kids, you go to the parent. Now, if the parents aren't around and the kids are doing something that could possibly harm themselves, then you have to say something.
Good answer.
That's a really good answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, hey, kid!
Right.
Kid!
Which is exactly what I saw happen. And it didn't end well. Jacqueline, what do you think? You think it's okay to discipline other people's kids?
I think you've got to clarify the definition of discipline. You know, don't touch, don't hit, don't yell at, but in a calm, firm manner. I think that it can be important because if nothing else, we are a community and none of us live in a vacuum, right? So what I've used with my kids is that if somebody speaks up to them, it's a great time to use that as a learning experience, right? Throughout their entire life, whether it's an office environment, whatever, they're gonna have people try to influence their actions. And so it's a great way to take input. I kind of like when people will speak up and say something to my kids. And that might not be popular opinion, but that way they don't shrink away and they also don't overreact. They remember that their actions affect people around them and they can just be empathetic.
I have two visions coming to me right now. Mm-hmm. One, Her legs may be crossed, and she's wearing some sort of tapestry thing here or whatever, because you are like a shaman. Like, you break it down in a very thoughtful and good way. And I just don't believe any of the children I've ever witnessed in my life, I could get them to buy into it. But if yours are doing it, I love that for you. The
Why
other vision I
crossed?
Have, you know, it's like a yoga thing. Number two, she's got a coffee mug and a cozy sweater. Mm. And she's telling you this in an office that has a large, comfy leather couch. But you don't want to pass out on it because she is, in fact, your therapist.
Right. She charges by the hour.
That's pretty good.
I might do that as a living. I'm not confirming or denying.
Maybe. Maybe.
Thank you.
Chris, do you think it's okay to discipline other people's kids?
Because in this society of oversensitivity, it depends on the situation. I mean, if a kid is disrespecting me, I think you can use your words and say, that's not okay. You respect me. Like, if they're hurting an animal or if they're hurting another child or hitting somebody, then yes, physically come in and separate them. But I think the days of, like, spanking another person's child, I think that's a tricky subject.
Yeah, no, that's certainly not what we mean. We don't want you to do that. No.
But when that kid was after that seagull, I was mad, and I was like, hey, kid, don't do that.
Well, even like my dog or something, if my friend comes over and you're hurting my dog,
oh, no,
like, yeah, get them involved and then physically remove them. But there's even
different.
A whole television
I'll beat up
show
a toddler
about, like,
no, you're not going to beat up a toddler.
I will beat up a toddler if they mess with my dog. Right. But as far as a kid that's talking and mouthing off to me, then no, I can't do anything about that. Me, it's fine. Animals, something different entirely.
Familiar faces on set. Oh, you know, I'm just going to do my best. Hopefully get it right. No pressure.
Wait a minute.
What?
Tom Holland's one of them British dudes that talks British, too?
Yeah.
And then in the movies, he's totally regular? I hate it when actors do that. I remember after Avatar when Sam Worthington got up on stage for some award show and he's like, the movie. And I was like, what is he saying? What is he talking about? I hate it when they fake me out with their accents.
You didn't know Tom Holland was British?
I didn't.
All right.
I mean, he's got our number one American export, Zendaya. I figured, like, you know, he was definitely American, true blue all the way through.
No.
Sorry.
And if you were waiting for the new Spider-Man Brand New Day movie, which she's currently filming, to come out, you might be waiting a while longer.
Here's the good news. I wasn't. So there's that.
Well, he got hurt on set, concussion, during a stunt. You can watch the stunt because it's posted everywhere. And it's scary looking. And you don't realize, like, when you're shooting an action film, you assume they have body doubles and they have all these people and these security measures in place. And sure, they do. But no, he got hit in the head and he's going to be taken out for a while.
Well, listen, that's the Tom Cruise method, basically. It's like everybody wants to do their own stunts when they can, right? Like, you know, it ups the ante there. People like to see it. Your fans like to see it. And you're kind of known as somebody as the industry or in the industry, somebody that can do things. So I like that attitude there. I mean, I probably had like 16 concussions. I'm okay, basically.
At work?
Relatively.
I mean, what?
No, not at work.
Yeah, producer Julie.
Not at this job, anyways.
Ironically, we were just talking about head injuries on the job and getting hurt on the job. What happened to you?
Oh, my gosh. So when I'm not here, I work as a barista. And you know the portafilters that you put into an espresso machine? It has a long arm that sticks out?
Yes.
When I went to go grab ice, that machine is right above the ice machine. So as I'm scooping the ice, I jammed my head into the portafilter. And all these people are waiting for their coffee, so I can't go and cry.
Yeah.
But I wanted to.
You wanted to.
I thought my eye was filling up with just blood vessels. It felt swollen.
Yeah.
But we carried on. But when I tell you there's a bump, there is a bump.
You just
right
kept going.
Temple.
How long has the bump been there?
Like, this is the third day.
Yeah, see, like, if you don't ice it, sometimes that bump will just stay there for the rest of your life.
Well, that's good.
You know, you want to know what I always want to figure out? Like, are kids' heads more pliable than adults?
Oh, yeah.
Because kids get hit in the head all
the
time.
That's science.
They get, like, an egg. They just carry on. And, and then they're fine.
No, that's science.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
I mean, you ever see the kids with, like, the helmets and stuff? It's still forming. Yeah, so they do that. Did you ever get hurt at work?
I get hurt at work all the time. You hit me. You punched me in my eye the other day, Raven.
That was different.
Poked you
okay?
in the eye.
And that could have happened anywhere. It was more like a swipe anyways. All right.
So
to be fair, you put your eye in front of my hand.
No,
and then you said something that I had to react to.
No, it was the most awkward things. We're filming a video and Raven, you know, Raven's like a...
Oh, yeah?
He just throws up his hand, boom, knocks me out in my eye, and everybody laughs. And I immediately get like, you know, like when like it all goes white, you know, and everything goes
you
white.
You wanted to cry from the coffee
machine,
too?
I wanted to cry from being hit in the eye by Raven, but everybody's laughing.
And she kept playing.
So you had to go along with it.
I had to go along with it. Yeah. And then I couldn't see out of my other eye, which was weird.
Is that video up? Can people see it?
We'll find it.
Oh, please do.
We didn't even post it to get the views.
That's going
to
say people might love that video.
The intern actually cropped just that part and made a video of just you poking your eye.
Oh, good. So look for violence in a video that we put up today there. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever really gotten hurt in radio. I might have fallen off a stage once or twice. But I feel like rock stars do that all the time. So that's not even like a thing. It's not even a real thing.
Did you ever get hurt at work? What happened? 1-800-330-9999. When was the last time you got hurt at work? 1-800-330-9999. Tom Holland filming the new Spider-Man movie during one of his action scenes, hit in the head. He's going to be out for a while now with a concussion. Rich, how'd you get hurt?
Yeah, I was on the aerating machine. They flipped over, and I got thrown 3 feet off and got hurt on the whole left side of my body.
Oh, man, that's not cool.
No.
So, listen, I see my landscaping company from time to time. They get on there, and they pull that thing off the trailer, the aerator, the seeder, or the fertilizer spreader, and that dude will be going over my lawn doing like 40 miles per hour. Were you pulling like G's going through a turn, or was it just like uneven terrain? What happened?
No, I was trying to go up to get it back on the trailer, and it snapped, and it went over.
Oh, so what happened? Were you okay?
No, I'm on my way to physical therapy now. I hurt my whole left side of my body, my shoulder, my hip, and my knee.
When did this happen?
Wait.
No, it happened about a month ago, and they wouldn't even do work. They're not even doing workman's comp.
Oh, man. That's a mess. Mm. That's a mess, dude.
Yeah, I have a lawyer and everything against them.
Yeah, well, you just make sure you keep the neck brace and everything else on you because you know they probably got somebody hanging out in your bushes trying to film you doing something fun.
That's the same thing the lawyer said.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything wrong.
Well, be careful, man. Take care of that knee.
Thank you.
Not all heroes wear capes, Raven. Okay. Sometimes they're trying to sell you a house.
What?
Yeah. A 175-pound bear was caught on video roaming the aisles of a Dollar General in New Jersey last Tuesday.
That's a sizable animal right there. That'll take you out, that's for sure.
Imagine you're just shopping at your local store, and you look over, and walking into your aisle is a 175-pound bear.
I don't know how often you go to Dollar General, Anna, but sometimes they have some strange items that you can find in there, like, you know, snacks and stuff like that they haven't seen in a long time, you know, a whatchamacallit bar, a Cracker Jack box or something like that. Typically not a large furry animal from the forest, though.
But a hero emerged.
Okay.
Now, I want you to take a look at this cell phone video filmed by Sean Clarkin, who's a realtor for Coldwell Banker in Vernon, New Jersey, who went into Dollar General and slowly led the bear out of the store.
Come on, this way. Come on. Where's the exit? Hey, this way.
Yeah, you just talk to the bear.
Where's
this way.
The exit? I mean, it's you right walked here. In the exit, right? Yeah, I love that he whistles at him.
Yeah, come on. We got to go this way. And then afterwards, they caught up with him because he managed to get the bear out. And he said, logically, he was the best man there to take care of the situation.
Of course.
When you run a business, you got to wear a lot of different hats. Mm-hmm. All right? And I looked at this just like it was in another hat. And when I was in the store, I just led the bear the way I lead my clients through the maze of how to sell a house. I just encouraged the bear to follow me. I spoke in nice terms. Yep. I tried to clear the path ahead of us so there was fewer distractions. I handled it like it was any other task in selling a house.
Just like that.
Here's the thing. I don't like the verbiage that he used, that he's leading me or guiding me or whatever, having me walk after him while selling a house. But I do like his moxie. He's a savvy guy. He's like, guess what? I'm selling 4 houses this week. Right after this, people are calling me. And I bet you it worked.
Our friend, Jonathan Carbuti, Carbuti & Company Realtors. Jonathan, do you train your realtors to escort bears out of Dollar General stores?
I can't say we do. That's a new one for me. I have to be honest. I might freeze up. Maybe out of terror and also out of like bewilderment, like saying, am I really seeing what I'm seeing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a really great training program for new agents, but I think we're going to scrap every training program that we have. And we should just lock a brand new agent in with a bear in a room in a store and see how they do.
It makes sense to me. It's the only way.
If you have to escort a troublesome possible buyer or client or whatever, was there a technique for that or is it all off the cuff?
You know, like working with a problem buyer or a problem seller is the same as coaxing a bear out of a store. You've got to be able to roll with the punches. Sure, he had empathy with that bear, and he connected with the bear in some way because the bear didn't maul or kill him. The bear actually bit somebody else in the store before this guy. Is getting bit by a bear the same as getting bit by a dog? I'm guessing not.
I think it depends on how big the dog is.
Right, and how small the bear would be, I guess. I suppose.
Maybe. But.
Turns out being a real estate agent is nothing like guiding a bear out of a Dollar General.
Yeah, or maybe it is.
There's no telling if our friend D, who's sitting with us right now, is a millionaire right now or not.
Yeah, the truth is that if I knew the answer to that, I might be hitting her up for some cash. All right? Because that phone will start ringing once you win something big like this.
D Ortiz is one of our coworkers and a good friend. And months and months ago, she came running up to me and you said, I'm going to London in a week and I'm going to be on a new game show. Yeah. And now that game show is premiering tomorrow night on Fox. It's called 99 to Beat.
Dee, what is this game show? How does it work? Because it's a brand new show here, right?
Yeah, it's a brand new show. They go around and they pick 100 Americans from all over the world, though. Americans that live in Paris, Americans that live in Scotland, here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And we go through the longest process of casting ever. Mm-hmm. Let's see. We had to do a 4-hour background check. We had to talk to a psychiatrist to make sure that we were not crazy or at a certain level of crazy.
How'd you pass?
Yeah. Right.
That's the biggest thing I was scared about, actually. I was like, please let me pass it.
But wait a minute. So it's 99 Americans brought together to compete for this $1 million prize.
Yeah, we compete for $1 million.
You know, we hear about people giving away $1 million. You say to yourself, well, after taxes, it's this, that, whatever. But I mean, we know you. We work in the building with you, Dee. We know things about your life. And what would $1 million mean to you?
And your daughter.
I mean, it'd change everything, right? It'd change your entire life.
It would change everything. I always say, and I joke, and everybody laughs at me. I'm always like, I'm going to buy a mansion, and I'm going to put all my family and my friends in it. Because to me, it's like, you know, everybody has always been there for me, and I want to return that and be there for everybody. And it's just like, that's the one thing I always laugh about. I know it's a mansion, but I'm like, in my head, I feel like that's like, we could all live there. We can, you know, help each other, get my dad a boat, you know, the norm.
But it was a big deal to go to London because it was one, short notice.
Yeah.
And two, you had to leave your daughter for the longest time you've ever left her. That's got to be hard.
Yeah, no, it was hard, you know, but being a mom, you know, Anna, and Raven, you know, being a dad, when you get an opportunity like this, you know, the first thing you think about is, oh my God, is she going to be okay? Is she going to be able to cook for herself?
But you have to take the chance.
Yeah, you have to take the chance. Yeah. And when I sat down with her, she's like, Mom, you can do this. You have to do this. I mean, basically, the reason I did it is to show her that no matter how old you are, you can do whatever you want.
Dee, our coworker, is going to be featured on the new show that's happening on Fox called 99 to Beat. It starts tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. So, Dee, how is the game played?
We start off with the easiest games, and you think they're easy.
But it's games, though.
But they're different games. Yeah, different games that, like, you know, a 5-year-old can do.
So Squid Games without, you know, falling to your death and whatnot.
But the point of the game is you cannot be last. If you're last, you get eliminated.
And I keep seeing on the promo commercials, is it balloons? What's happening? What is that?
Yeah, so there are, I don't even know how many balloons, but the balloons come falling down and you have to try and pop a balloon in order to be safe.
Okay.
It basically is Squid Game without the death. Yeah. You're 100% right.
So, I mean, I know that you can't tell us how it works out, but what should we be watching for tomorrow if we're watching the premiere?
Look for the girl with the pigtails and the neon outfit. It's just going to be so exciting. You're going to sit there and think it's so easy, but the pressure, the easiest game in your head becomes the hardest game because you're trying to figure out
how can I
do this. Right. Yeah, so they knew exactly what they were doing. So
the funny part about this game, it's not a new game. It's a new game here in America, but it's like an international hit. Like I mentioned to my mom that my friend was going on this new show called 99 to Beat. You know, she's got all the Italian shows.
Sure.
She watches, and she was like, I watch that show every week. She's like, it's not new.
Yeah.
So the fact that this is such a massive super hit around the world, I'm wondering what's going to happen here in America.
Well, it's a big budget show, and it premieres tomorrow night on Fox, and our friend Dee is part of it.
And she's a millionaire, maybe. Well, we don't know. We have no idea.
Can't
look
say
out for
that.
The mansion. There'll be signs.
I would lead directions going the other way. That's what I would do. But congratulations and good luck.
Thank you.
And we'll be watching. And, of course, you'll give us some updates.
Now, NFL weapon. Aubrey, does he have enough? on the way. It is hard. That's why they trusted him. Wow. Never a doubt.
Wow.
Sometimes your wife just knows what's right. 100%.
Okay, what are you going to tell me?
That's Brandon Aubrey. He's the kicker for the Dallas Cowboys, making a 64-yard field goal, sending his team into overtime last week.
Okay, so he's about the only thing that's happening good for the Cowboys. Congratulations to him. What's the story?
His story is wild. So he was a college soccer player, mm-hmm. and then he went on to play professionally soccer, but he really couldn't cut it. His team let him go. So he left playing soccer and he went and got a regular job as a software engineer.
Yeah.
Fast forward a few years, he gets married. He has his job. He's, you know, doing his 9 to 5. And then one day he and his wife are watching the NFL. They're watching the game on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And the player who is the kicker on the screen missed like a couple field goals in a row.
Sure.
And the wife said, "You could have made that." And she was like, "No, no, no. Seriously. You could have made that. You could do that. You could be a kicker in the NFL." And he thought about it. And he was like, "Yeah, you know what? You're probably right." He looked up a kicking coach in his area. He started training every day after work. And in 2003, he was hired by the Cowboys and is now their kicker.
2003?
2023.
I was going to say, I checked that date. There's no way that he's still kicking 23 years later
Listen.
He would have put a hammy on that one.
In my mind, it's still 2003.
I mean, the NFL's full of stories like this. Kurt Warner, I mean, you're not a big football fan, so you would have missed a lot of these. But Kurt Warner was stuck in, you know, store shelves on an overnight shift, and 2 years later, he was playing in the Super Bowl as the quarterback. So... Tyler Henke was a teacher. Tyrod Taylor, both these guys, they're all coaching high school football, and then they're in the bigs.
It's big stuff. I mean, that's pretty amazing, but I was thinking about it. You said like that dude became like the quarterback. I can't become a quarterback.
No, that's true.
That's something that I think you really need to practice really hard at. But I was thinking about it, and I was like, I could probably be a kicker. I'm certain I could kick a field goal. Like, I was a soccer player.
How many years ago was that? That might have been 2003.
That was 2003.
Yeah, so maybe in 2003,
yeah,
you could have been going out for the team there. I mean, it's not easy.
I think it's probably easier than we think.
I mean, listen, I think it's easier than being the quarterback. I think it's easier than being a linebacker.
You don't even have to get hit most of the time.
Well,
you don't have to go on the ground. You don't get pummeled. You just run up and then you kick the ball and you do that little skip thing with your leg and then it goes in there and everybody goes, "Jay!"
Most of the time, right? Or they boo you, right? That's the hard thing about kicking.
You can't miss it.
Yeah, if you miss kicks, like, that's bad too, you know? Why, you want to kick a field goal? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm saying that... If me, you, producer Justin, and producer Julie went onto a football field and we tried to kick a field goal, I can say with 99% certainty I could hit it.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't kicked a ball.
I was going to say, that's a lot of bravado there you have for something that you've never done before in your life.
I had ACL surgery in that knee, but you know what?
What? Yeah, not a problem for you.
We just got to stretch first. As long as we stretch, I am relatively certain that out of the four of us, I'd be able to hit a field goal.
I have zero confidence that I could hit a field goal, to tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. I think that it's a skill. I mean, half the time when I throw a ball, I don't know exactly where it's going to go, to tell you the truth. So just kind of wind it up and I let it haul off and then, I go from there.
Producer Julie, find us a football field. And a football, and we're going to try it, and we'll report back tomorrow if we were able to make that field goal or not.
I can see her in the other room right now, already on the telephone.
All right,
so
perfect.
I'm sure that this will be fun.
99% certainty I can do it.
Okay.
96% certainty.
Well, I can't wait to find out, that's for sure.
Also, would be helpful if it was 2003.
I was going to say, right, if you had a time machine, maybe, right.
From Hollywood, it's Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Oh, it's been a lot of controversy over Jimmy Kimmel since his show got suspended last week over some comments.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, please. Last thing I want to talk about. But he has been reinstated, and he's supposed to go back on the air tonight. And I guess there was a lot of negotiations. From what I understand, he's not going to do an apology, but he's got to address what happened, right? I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the agreement is. I will say this. It doesn't matter which side of it's on. We enter very dangerous ground because I wasn't here when this all went down with the FCC selectively deciding who they're going to censor and who they're not. The FCC is there. They do have regulations. They're allowed to enforce those. But we can't selectively decide which side that works for and which one it doesn't. That doesn't make any sense. That's dangerous ground for America.
So even though Jimmy Kimmel will be back tonight and you want to hear what he's going to say, right?
Sure.
You might not be able to. So Sinclair Broadcasting is one of the major station owners, and they have threatened to boycott Kimmel. And they say they still plan not to show the show and that they're going to air local news programming. And the other company, Nexstar, has yet to comment. There's been a lot of back and forth about how much money Disney, ABC has lost over this decision. And just like Raven said, there's a lot of controversy.
Listen, there's lots of shows on television that I don't like. There's plenty of hosts that I think say irresponsible things that I don't agree with. But again, you change the channel. This is America, and you know, you're supposed to be able to say these things. Plenty of terrible things have been said over the years on plenty of different shows.
Including this one. Just kidding.
Nope.
No, not on this one.
That's not where we're going to be.
No. Also trending. Okay, do you remember 2 years ago, Las Vegas had that massive hacking? It basically shut down the strip.
Mm.
The MGM Grand, the slot machine shut down, email stopped working, the reservations went dark, the door keys didn't work.
I mean, MGM owns about 9 great properties on the strip. So yeah, they lost everything systems wide. It was a big deal.
They had to pay multi-millions of dollars of ransom to get power back. They lost over $100 million in revenue because of the hack.
That's like 3 hours in Vegas.
Okay.
Who did it? Was it Jimmy Kimmel? Wait. I knew it!
You ready for it?
Who was it?
He is just 17 years old and ended up surrendering himself last week to faces charges including identity theft, extortion, and unlawful computer acts. Prosecutors are asking a judge to try him as an adult because of the severity of these attacks.
The 17-year-old kid, he's part of the Scattered Spider, which I guess is a hacking group.
Okay.
Which means, if you do the math, when he did this, he was 15. No matter what you're mad at your kid for doing right now,
yeah,
just think about that. Thank goodness that's not your child.
I thought it was going to be Jimmy Kimmel or Kid Rock. I definitely did. here's the thing. Listen, if he's 15 years old, he's 17 now, they're trying to try him as an adult. That kid's never going to jail. He's not going to trial. You know what he's doing? If they're smart, they're giving him a job. He should be working for the government here. He should be working for the CIA or something like that. Well, that's exactly who you need.
I know some of the news reports saying that he was working with people in Russia. So
that's it. Keep him out of the government.
Yep. I don't know if that's the plan. But I just am floored. Like, I'm looking at my daughter who is 16, and I'm like, imagine if you look at your teenage child and think to yourself, would they ever be able to pull something like this off? Where they
Vegas.
Shut down Las Vegas?
Mm-hmm.
And it's wild.
Are you mad or are you proud? Which one is the bigger feeling at that time?
Oh, I am beyond mad.
Yeah.
I'm beyond mad.
What if they got you know, free comped rooms, a suite at Caesars, tickets? There's a couple residencies going on there.
I really do want to go see the Sphere. I hear it's very cool.
See? Yeah. What if they could make you queen of the Sphere for a day?
No, still not happy about it.
All right.
Number one searched Google trend right now.
Everyone has a struggle meal. Mine is simple. I go to the grocery store and I pound a fully cooked rotisserie chicken.
A struggle meal.
Oh, I picked up a rotisserie yesterday and ate half of it by myself. Yeah. It's actually sitting in my refrigerator right now. That's what I'm eating today.
Struggle meal is a slang term for a meal that's super cheap, easy, usually made with whatever random ingredients you already have on hand.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is that you're struggling financially, or you're short on time, or you just don't feel like cooking a full balanced meal, so you throw something together quickly, even if it's not the healthiest or the fanciest.
Well, I mean, I think everybody had a struggle. Listen, when I lived in LA, they had dollar whoppers going on for like 6 to 9 months, and I was broker than you can imagine. Had an apartment lease that I was signed to through a friend when I moved out, and basically like had no job. I ate whoppers for seriously like 2-3 months. So good. And then mac and cheese. Are you serious? Out of the box? That was my struggle meal for like 8 years. Right now it's rotisserie.
You know, it's my husband travels a lot for work.
Sure.
He's gone this week. And I mentioned this to my daughter yesterday. And she's like, well, it's kind of like our girl dinner.
Right.
So we call these weeks girl dinners because when my husband isn't home, and I know this sounds awful as a parent, but I hate cooking.
Right.
And anytime I can save money on the groceries, I want to save the money.
And the kids aren't looking down the nose at you because you made them a bowl of ice cream for dinner. Right? Like, I mean, your husband would be like, this is not good planning. This is not good for our children. But the kids, they love it.
Like, my husband, he's like a, I don't want to say a classic guy. I don't know what the right word is, but he needs a carb.
Right.
He needs a meat.
A vegetable.
Yeah,
right.
And
like,
a vegetable.
He needs those things.
He needs all those things on his plate.
Yeah.
You know, like, he wants all of it. So every night when I have to cook dinner, I have to have all those things. But when it's me and the girls.
You sound so mad about it.
It's a struggle meal because I don't have time. I'm
right.
Tired. I don't want to do
so
it.
So what did you eat yesterday?
Well, these are the top five struggle meals that people are searching right now on Google.
Okay.
Spaghetti, egg with rice.
Okay.
Hot dog. Cheesy tortilla rolls,
yeah,
and nachos. All these things sound delicious to me.
Yeah, I mean, none of them is actually as bad as the worst things that I've shoved in my mouth and called a meal before. I mean, a rack of saltines, I could call that a meal at times.
Yes. So I was thinking about it. I'm like, all right, if we call it girl dinner, but if we're going to call it struggle meal,
yeah.
What's on the docket this week? So last night, it was pasta with butter.
Mm-hmm.
That was it.
Right.
Pasta, nothing else,
yep.
Just pasta with butter.
Uh-huh.
Tonight, we have frozen chicken tenders.
Nice.
Nothing else on the side.
Will you put them in the air fryer? Will you microwave them or put them in the stove?
Air fryer.
Oh, that's a regular meal then.
Yeah.
You're practically cooking.
Yeah. Dakota, my little one, won't eat that, so she'll eat a buttered roll.
Perfect.
Tomorrow?
Wow.
It's quesadilla days for the girls.
Yeah.
I'm going to make quesadillas.
Yep.
And then.
Do you use real cheese? You're okay.
I use shredded cheese.
Yeah,
you know?
You're all right.
Right.
Then.
And then there's plenty of nights where Hayden and I have just had Tostitos and salsa.
Yeah,
and that's it. That's our dinner. And I know it sounds terrible, but I kind of love it. We almost look forward to it because it's such
a
break from the norm.
Yeah, it's out of the routine. I think that some people like that, right? Like, some people, they need to live in structure and routine all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people, they like any sort of variance from that. So yesterday I had chicken because my wife still isn't feeling good. So she was allowed Chinese. I can't really eat that right now. So I got a rotisserie chicken and I steamed an entire bag of peas. I ate that whole thing.
Yeah.
With plant-based butter. Which, by the way, is the saddest butter that exists.
You can't even tell the difference, Raymond.
No, you can tell the difference because it doesn't taste like butter. It's
okay.
Just like really about moisture.
I would almost argue that some of these struggle meals, especially if you grew up eating them,
yeah,
are better than the real meals. Like, don't you look forward to sometimes just having a quesadilla?
Peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
Man, I would eat that 3 times a day if I could right now. Oh, I definitely would.
One couple.
At 28, he's still exactly the same.
I get what she's saying, and I mean, I'm not proud of it or anything.
One problem.
Marty is just one of those really picky eaters.
You decide the outcome.
I mean, I'm not going to not go out to eat with my husband, but I guess I don't really have a choice, though.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by T-Mobile. It's better over here. See how at T-Mobile.com/magenta status. Brendan and Alexa. Alexa, how long have you been married?
We've been married for a year.
All right, this is interesting. What seems to be the problem?
So my husband is working a very low-paying job that he likes a lot, but I feel like he's underselling himself because he has a law degree. He's obviously going to make more money as a lawyer, and he spent all this money, you know, to earn the degree. He is just totally set on keeping this job. Why is he wasting his future?
Brennan, what's your side of this?
Well, she says I'm wasting my future. First of all, like, I don't have to work this job forever. I enjoy it now. I like the people I work with. And when I walk out the door at the end of the night, I'm done. I don't have to think about it. You know, I've seen my friends from law school who are in practice now.
Mm.
These guys are like 24/7. I'm still, you know, in my early 30s. It's not as though I can't get involved, but it's like right now, it just works. I have time to do stuff outdoors. This summer would have been totally different if I was like my friends, you know, situation.
What is your job?
So, I'm a manager of an area in like a big box store, in like one section of that.
Like Enterprise Rent-A-Car, right? Anna, there's a track for the future. I mean, I'm sure he gets some benefits and stuff like that. Listen, my brother's an attorney, and my sister-in-law is an attorney, and I've got a couple aunts and uncles, too, in the business. And you know what? Law school changed them. It really did. It changed them, and it took a toll in some ways. In a few years, they thought that that was fulfilling to them and made them happy. And then, you know, I watched them struggle and try and change jobs and shift their job. They're still in the industry, but I can understand. It's certainly a different feeling. I also can understand what it's like to have a job where you walk up the door and it's not bothering you. It's not taking up headspace. Law is not one of those jobs.
Alexa, are you upset because you feel like he's not making his earning potential in your marriage?
I mean, it's obviously about money more than anything, because, you know, I want to make sure we have a secure future, like a retirement account. And, you know, if we decide to have kids, he spent all this money on school. It just feels like a waste.
Like you were saying, though, if we decide to have kids, like when we have kids, yeah, I'm going to kick into high gear. We don't right now. So I'm feeling like this is the time to enjoy life, the before time, okay. You know?
But then you're going to start your career late. I mean, you're going to be four steps behind.
Exactly.
But I mean, life happens now. It's like life doesn't happen. You know, the future is a different thing and we will be fine. It's like I'm set up to have a good situation. It's not like it's going away. You know, if like my law degree disappears over time, it's still there. I don't want to have some happy future where I look back and I go, well, I never lived, you know, before. You know?
I mean, I think, too, that life is something that you can't predict everything. Right now, you guys are like, we just got married a year ago, and you've got a plan, and you want to, you know, you're talking about your retirement already. When you have kids, it's going to change everything, too. So you don't know whether or not you're going to want to go to Little League games or you're going to want to go to, you know, client conferences until 8 o'clock at night. You don't know. The choice is, do you go after the money or is your happiness worth enough of a dollar sign where it's worthwhile? I think that's really the question, right, Anna?
Well, that, and is it a dumb idea that you're going to start your professional career later on when you have kids? Because that's when you're going to be concerned about finances. It's a lot of questions here. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Is Brendan making the wrong move staying with his job that may not be a long-term position when he's qualified to do more?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Ann and Raven.
If you felt that your husband wasn't living up to his full potential professionally, would you voice that happiness, unhappiness, or would you just let him be happy in his job?
It's delicate tightrope that you're walking here, right? Mm-hmm. Because, again, you know, as a couple, you feel like we're partners. You know, we came into this with a plan. We've been married a year. And, you know, this is part of, you know, what makes you appealing as a partner, right? Here we are. We've got all this potential on the table. On the other hand, if you're telling somebody else to quit a job that makes them happy, gosh, a year in? That would feel like you're putting some serious rules on me as a partner. Maybe you're not the partner I thought you were.
Brendan has a law degree. But he took a job out of school as like in a big box store, and he's like a section manager. And she said, okay, that was fine for a little bit, but now you have a law degree. Like, you need to go get a real job because we're eventually going to have kids and we're going to need that money. But Brendan is happy.
Yeah.
He's flexibility, takes vacation whenever he wants.
Yeah.
Very low stress.
He's got a regular job and he sees his other friends that went to law school and they are not living the same way.
What do you think? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Ben.
Oh, I'm definitely, most definitely on the husband's side. The fact that he's got a job that he's happy with, happiness has got to always come before the money, always. He's got that job now, whether it's now or 10 years from now, that he's happy, oh my God, that's golden. He's on the right track.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999, Couples Court. Despite the fact that Brendan has a law degree, he has decided that he's going to be a manager in a big box store where he gets paid considerably less than he would as in his law field. And he's happy there.
Yeah.
Very much so. The only person that's got a real big problem with this, his wife, Alexa.
Yeah, you know, the big issue for me would be here is like, you know, I've been working this job. You know, we've been married for a year and you're telling me that it's time for me to go be a lawyer and be a grown up. And if I've made a decision to work at this other place, clearly I'm happy there. You know, you kind of let your partner work it out. Your partner is not always going to please you. That's a fact of marriage.
Right. But Brendan says, like, when we have kids down the line, then I'll go and take this seriously. But for right now, this is what makes me happy. It's flexible, low stress. I mean, down the line, you're going to start in 3-4 years. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Listen, I think he should realize, take it from somebody who's old at this point, get the good job because you want to enjoy your life later.
A lot of people would say, right, work now while you can, right? Get that money. Stack that paper, if you will.
Work now. Enjoy your life. When you're older, you're going to be so much happier you did. Because when you're old, you don't want to have to work.
You know, the only thing with that, Anna, how many people do you know and you see that they start working like that, working like a dog when they're young, and guess what? They never stop.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I honestly don't know what's better or worse.
Robert, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
Well, I think that this guy's missing a lot of unstated issues. The first one is that at his age, he should be building a resume, because when he goes a little further down the line and he tries to get that wonderful legal job, those employers are going to look and ask him, hey, what did you do for the last 5 or 7 years? And if he says, I worked in a box store and I didn't work in the legal environment, they're going to have a hard time, you know, offering him that great job that he thinks is just sitting there waiting for him because he has that legal degree.
Unless he sold them their television, helped them carry it out to the pickup truck. Unless.
I don't know if that counts.
That could be the case.
Anne, what do you think?
I'm on his side. I work for lawyers, and I know it is a nonstop job. Maybe he went to school and thought that this was the path he wanted to go down, but it is definitely not a path that you can leave at the door at the end of the day. So I say no way. Pick a different path.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Alexa, our audience agreed with you. Brendan, gosh, it's so nice to live the dream and to kick back and relax and just enjoy things as they are. But it's hard to plan for the long term when you're in the right now. You have to start thinking about now for the future. And I think that's what Alexa really wants you to do. And the audience agreed.
Well, I hear them, but I also, you know, have to listen to my heart. And it's not like I'm not putting away some money. You know, it's not like I'm, you know, playing video games all day. I'm gainfully employed. It just might not be at the level she wants. I mean, I understand what they're saying. You know, the world seems to be getting more and more demanding in terms of, you know, everything going up in cost. But
Brennan, you had me right until you said, I'm going to start being a lawyer when the kids get here, because that doesn't make any sense at all. Right. Because then you're already going to need the money and you're going to want the time back at that point. You had me right until happiness trumps the dollar sign sometimes, at least at different parts of our life. But you had it until then. Alexa, congratulations. You got the votes, but it sounds like you're still running underwater with this guy.
I think I can convince him.
All right. Well, we wish you the best. And if you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash Jackpot is $100 thanks to Progressive Commercial Insurance. It can protect your small business with over 30 coverage options, an easy-to-use mobile app, personalized discounts, and more. Get a quote in as little as 6 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations. All right, Alice, you ready to play today?
Yes, I am.
Let's do it. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you leave the room?
You got it. Good luck, Alice.
So, Alice, while Raven is walking out of here, I should let you know that nothing makes me happier than when he loses 2 days in a row. So if you could make that happen, it would be a joyous, joyous day. Sound good?
I'll try.
All right. He can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring him back in. Ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Ready.
Number one, the newest rumor of who's going to be performing at the Super Bowl halftime show is Adele, even though she's turned it down in the past. She's from what country?
England.
Number two, Sabrina Carpenter will make her Grand Ole Opry debut on October 7th. It's part of the Opry's 100th anniversary celebrations. It was also announced that she will host and perform during what October 18th show?
Saturday Night Live.
Number three, Demon Slayer Infinity Castle is the highest grossing anime film of all time and was number one at the box office again this past weekend. What other demon animated series dominated Netflix over the summer?
Stranger Things.
Number four, Jimmy Kimmel Live will return tonight after his suspension from the network. Some stations are still not going to air his show, though. Before his late-night gig, Jimmy Kimmel co-hosted which Comedy Central show with Adam Carolla? That's time. And number five, Adam Sandler is currently on the road performing his You're My Best Friend tour. His first acting role was playing Smitty, a friend of one of the main characters on what popular 1980s sitcom?
Was it Cheers?
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
2 out of 5 for Alice.
Not great. Let's see how I do. Here we go.
Number one, the newest rumor of who's going to be performing at the Super Bowl halftime show is Adele, even though she's turned it down in the past.
She's from what country?
She's from England, and I love her, but I think it would be boring. Send your love to me. Is it boring?
Number two, Sabrina Carpenter will make her Grand Ole Opry debut on October 7th. It's part of the Opry's 100th anniversary celebrations.
Okay.
It was also announced that she will host and perform during what show on October 18th?
The Super Bowl. No, I'm just kidding. Saturday Night Live.
That's right. You guys are excited, too. Number three, Demon Slayer Infinity Castle is the highest grossing anime film of all time and was number one at the box office again this past weekend.
Mm.
What other demon animated series dominated Netflix over the summer?
Animated, huh? Was it just Demon Hunter? Was it just called Demon Hunter?
No, it's K-pop Demon Hunter.
Right.
Number four, Jimmy Kimmel Live will return tonight after his suspension from the network, and some stations are still not going to air his shows, though.
Mm-hmm.
Before his late-night gig, Jimmy Kimmel co-hosted which Comedy Central show with Adam Carolla?
The Man Show.
Yep. And number five, Adam Sandler is currently on the road performing his You're My Best Friend tour. His first acting role was playing Smitty, a friend of one of the main characters on what popular 1980s sitcom?
Oh, God, I know this. I can't think of it off the top of my head.
It was The Cosby Show.
Yeah, all
yeah.
right.
I'm sorry, Alice. He beat you 3-2 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
Okay, can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $200 tomorrow, Anna. Here we go.
And I want to thank Jeff. He supplied one of the questions I used today. If you ever have an idea for a question, you can submit it at annonraven.com.